This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Mark Rohde with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, Saturday, suckage. We're taking you up till 2 o'clock. And we go back to the Scores Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We welcome back to our airwaves, back to our show, Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Bulls. You can follow him on Twitter at @CTSBulls. You will hear his pregame show at 7:15 tonight. Bulls, Celtics. So the news right now, Chuck, thanks for coming back. The news right now is actually, if it had to happen to Zach LaVine, the MRI revealed some pretty good news that it's no structural long-term damage. I guess everybody exhaled, do you think?
I would think so, Steve. Good to be with you, by the way. Because last night we really didn't know what was happening, you know, 3.5 minutes into the game. And then we get word, of course, from the team that he won't return, and that an MRI afterwards, that an MRI would be, you know, the evaluation period of time today. And so we just got the word. So you move forward, and they have a game tonight. They got a game Monday in Memphis. After that, we'll see what's happening after they reassess what's happening with Zach's knee.
Yeah, quite the schedule over the next few days, Chuck, and it's been quite the schedule, too. And so, as you mentioned, LaVine goes out, and I don't know if there was a correlation with what happened to the Bulls last night, losing 138-96, but what happened?
Well, what happened, I think that was a part of the equation? Yes. Was it all of it? No. Obviously, you give up 138 points the last two games. But some of that is we're dealing, this is a fact, people don't want to hear this, but when you lose the importance of some of your best, if not the best, perimeter defenders that you have, it's going to have an effect. Now, having said that, you still have to go out and play a basketball game, and you still have to close out. You have to pinch on high pick and rolls. You have to have weak side help. All those things matter. And obviously the level of competition has picked up, Mark, as you mentioned, you know, when you play the Nets and the Warriors. So, I mean, you know, no one feels sorry for anybody in this league. Everyone's been dealing with injuries, with COVID, and you just got to play the games that are on the schedule. And again, it sounds like cliche, but it's true. And you just got to get it done somehow, some way. So I think Billy Donovan, who's done a great, great job with this club, I think he's doing his very, very best right now to make sure that there's no slippage. And he saw this happen even with a 9-game win streak about what's happening defensively. And now with really good competition, you're seeing what's happened.
Our guest is Chuck Swirsky. You can follow him on Twitter at @CTSBulls. He is the voice of the Bulls right here on The Score. You'll hear his pregame show at 7:15, Bulls and Celtics tonight. And this would be the start of the way he's going to change his rotation. Before, it was made sure he had either DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine on the court at the same time, or made sure one of them was on the court. And now he's kind of going to have to do that with Vooch and DeMar or whoever he's got healthy. That way, I don't know what you expect from rotational changes. Do you have some early thoughts on that, Chuck?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. So, in fact, I was talking to Bill Wennington about this. The options for Billy Donovan are right now limited because of the lack of players. They're running out of players. So do you start Io and say to yourself, okay, like, they've got Tatum, they got Brown, and even if Io can't measure up as far as height-wise, but he's still a really good defensive lockdown player. Do you go that direction, or you say, okay, we're going to go with Kobe? Now, if you start Kobe, that means you're giving up a lot offensively coming off the bench, and that means extended minutes if you want DeMar on the floor. So, I mean, at this point, it's going to be very interesting to see what direction Billy goes with this team, because I don't know. I mean, you know, right now, when you're minus the talent and guys that defensively are able to do what they have been doing prior to this stretch, where Caruso, I mean, you know, Alex hasn't played since December 20th, Steve, and you know, you take him out of the mix, and now you're without LaVine, and on top of that, you got Javonte Green, who I think everyone who watches this team on a nightly basis appreciates what he has brought to this club. So, I mean, you are very, very limited with the options you have available.
When in the heck is Alex Caruso coming back? Because it seems like he's just been gone forever. And he, like, I feel it. I feel like he is missed, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, you know, with the COVID, you know, you got to get to a certain count, and he hasn't reached that yet. So, and I mean, when he went out on the 20th, that was because of his foot. And then it was a transition period from an injured foot to COVID. So, I mean, he's been really rocked hard. I mean, how many games has he missed? 11 straight. So, you know, hopefully he'll be back soon. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But, you know, just because once he clears COVID, he still has to do the testing, you know, with his cardio test. So I don't know when he's coming back, to be quite candid with you.
Chuck Swirsky is our guest here on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Chuck will have his pregame show 7:15, Bulls and Celtics tonight at tip-offs at 7:30. The Bulls have gone through it. What a strange, wonderful, sometimes confusing season where this week, where you look at it this week and people wanted to say it was a barometer and they give up 138 points to the Nets, 138 points to a Warriors team where they actually did a good job on Steph Curry early and they didn't have Draymond Green, they didn't have Klay Thompson. And you know, there was a stat or a note was made that no conference leader ever got beat this badly or gave up this many points. And well, there's that conference leader part. And given all that the Bulls have lost from injury and COVID and protocol and however they've had to deal with it, and a lot of new players getting used to each other, I'm trying to take a step back from Zach LaVine being out and the way this week has proceeded and not take the dire look of, oh, they lost the guy they couldn't afford to lose or a guy they couldn't afford to lose. They had lost him before, and this team finds ways to find players or find different ways to have different guys contribute. I'm not saying they're going to win every game from here on out. I think they'll be competitive because of that coach. But this seems to be in keeping. I'm going to take the Stevie Sunshine outlook, Chuck, and say this seems to be in keeping with the way this season has gone, as much of a test as it's been. Do you look at it that way? Can you take a step back as it immersed as you are in every minute of this team, can you take a step back and imagine how this is going to play out, how this could benefit the Bulls?
Well, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing, Steve. Regardless of how people view what's happened, every team goes through a bump in the road. In some cases, larger than others, as far as a pothole. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to have challenges. I mean, you know, you play 82 games, and it mirrors almost like life. I always tell young people when they first start in the job and they get really excited, it's their first job, then all of a sudden, like after 2, 3, 4 months, reality sets in. And I always tell them, listen, life is not a straight line, so you better get used to it. And the same thing with the sports team, that you go through a lot of peaks, a lot of valleys, and somewhere in between. And right now, dealing with injuries and the COVID situation and playing against really good competition and probably hitting a little bit of a wall, as all teams are doing at this stage when you get around that 40-game mark, you know, there's always optimism, and you got to stay positive. And that's why a guy like, and I know you do this, guys, when you listen to players like DeMar DeRozan speak, he speaks from a platform as a veteran where he's calm. You never see DeMar go really, really, I mean, other than game-winning shots, but dealing with the media, you never see him go crazy. You never see him go really down. You know, he just tells it like it is. And he said, you know what? Hey, we got a game tonight. We got to play, period. So I am very optimistic. And I'll tell you the reason. When you saw players step in for the injured players, Steve, and you saw a guy like Tyler Cook and Derek Jones Jr. before they got hurt, you know, and you saw what they were giving this team, and you were saying to yourself, like, wow. I mean, a guy like Matt Thomas, Steve, Matt Thomas, who's kind of like a guy on the cusp, you know, NBA player, you know, really good college player at Iowa State, kind of end of the bench guy. He came in and gave the Bulls some really quality time before he got hurt. So all these things come into play, and I think it's going to help him when everyone gets healthy.
Yeah, I mean, we keep seeing guys like, you know, Alphonso McKinney last night with a ferocious putback jam, like guys that people have to look up, and they've all contributed, no doubt about it. And I agree with you, Chuck. I mean, it can be characterized as a bump in the road, and you talk about NBA realities as well. But it is one of the realities, perhaps, Chuck, that the Bulls are highly talented, really good, but is it possible that it has been shown over the last two games, specifically against Brooklyn and Golden State, that they are not yet of the elite of the NBA?
Well, I'll say this. I think it's very, very hard to judge a team when you're without your best players, because now you've got combinations on the floor. Some of these guys haven't even been on the floor together, and all of a sudden, you know, they're on the floor and you know, oh, I thought you were cutting, you know, on a backdoor cut, and I threw the ball on the left baseline when I should have thrown it to, you know, midpoint right, or on weak side help, I thought I had the high post guy and you were covering, you know, foul line in. All these things, you know, when you don't play in sync, and I know I'm talking a lot of X's and O's, and I apologize for this, but it's just a fact. So, you know, I looked last night at the Golden State bench, and I'm seeing Klay Thompson, okay, and Draymond Green, who's back home in the Bay Area. But, you know, I mean, Golden State is probably saying themselves coming into the United Center, we've lost 4 of 5, and in that stretch they were averaging only 96 points a game, shooting 40% from the floor. Well, you really can't judge Golden State in a 5-game window. You're going to judge them when Klay Thompson gets back to playing 30-plus minutes a game, where right now he's playing 21, and you're looking at Draymond Green getting back from his calf injury. So all these things, you know, and again, you can't really measure a team other than certain elements, and the Bulls are certainly going to have to work on from a defensive scheme, because you can't give up 138 a night, obviously. But I just think that you can't really measure a club until you got your full personnel.
Our guest is Chuck Swirsky. He is the voice of the Bulls on radio. On that radio station is The Score, this very radio station, 670 a.m. And Chuck's pregame show will be at 7:15. Bulls and Celtics tonight at 7:30. So the much more will seem to fall to Nikola Vucevic. So
yes,
give us the arc, your view of the arc of his season, and why could you legitimately expect him to suddenly spike either at the rim or in the low post or make the contributions the Bulls would definitely need while Zach LaVine's out and while the team sort of finds its next rotation?
Well, I mean, Zach takes, 20 shots a game. So those shots and those attempts are going to go to other players. Some will go, not everything's going to go through Vooch and DeMar. They may, get, obviously, extra shots, and they should. Lonzo will get some more opportunities, other players. But, I mean, Vooch is an extremely gifted offensive player. And especially when he's on the block with that little curl and the baby hook. And so I think Vooch is definitely in play here with the loss of LaVine. And, he is such a good – number one, he's a very underrated passer. But out of the top of the circle, I think Vooch is very comfortable, and you see him take threes, but he also can post up. Now, tonight, he's going up against Robert Williams, who's a shot blocker. So I expect Vooch probably to pull it out a little bit from foul line out and bring him out to give, opportunities for other players to drive to the rim. But I do think that he's going to be a feature player, and he has been a feature player even with Zach and DeMar. But now, without Zach, obviously, you're going to have to pick up the offense, and you're going to have to get production from players, and that, of course, is with DeMar and Vooch as your primary players in the starting lineup.
Chuck, I spoke to your radio broadcast partner, Bill Wennington, about a month ago, maybe a little bit less than that.
And I'm sorry.
Well, wait till you hear what we talked about.
Wow.
We talked about your dancing, and
yeah.
Bill had said, when I spoke to Bill on the radio, he said that you had stopped doing the dancing, and
yeah.
I have seen recently that you are dancing again. Chuck,
yeah.
What has gone into stopping the dancing, moreover, restarting the dancing?
Okay, well, The dancing really started last year because we were COVID out. We were burned out. Now, you know me. I'm very passionate about my job. I'm very passionate about my ability to call a game that I love so very much. And so our engineer, Rich Wyatt, the great Rich Wyatt, who is the best engineer, period. I love the man.
Love Rich.
He's a great, great person, first and foremost, who happens to be a great engineer. And so he took a clip. We did road games last year, Steve and Mark, as you know, downstairs at the United Center. And the Blackhawks would be playing, and we were like 50 feet away from the ice doing a game, a basketball game. So one game, we were just so COVID out because, calling a game, we're in the bunker, so to speak, and it was a wonderful setup. So the Bulls went, and I did a little dance. I think Rich taped it, and it went viral. And so we did that. Well, this season, it's different, where it's 82 games a little bit, and I didn't dance. And then I kept getting tweets, and friends of mine would text saying, why aren't you dancing? The Bulls win. Celebrate. We're off to a great year. So I started doing it. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and this is God's honor truth.
Okay.
So I've known Steph Curry forever. His father, Dell, played with the Raptors when I was there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Steph and Seth Curry would come to the games early with their father at 3:00 in the afternoon in Toronto for home games. And they would take a ball from the rack and they would start shooting at the Air Canada Center at 3:00 before the players arrived, the whole bit. Well, by my nature, I get to the arena 4-5 hours before a game just because that's my routine. In Toronto, they would ask me to stand on the floor with my arms extended so they could shoot. Now, they were kids at the time. And Steph is knocking down 18-footers at the age of 11 and 12. So I've known their family for years. So last night I saw Steph before the game. We had a good talk. And he goes, I follow you on Twitter. And he goes, you know, I like your videos, but you're not dancing tonight.
Yeah, he was right about that.
He was right.
Yeah, that's quite a thing. Well, I want you to dance, Chuck, and I want Bruno Tonioli of Dancing with the Stars to just, you know, romance you the way he greets people. Oh, you dashing young man, you are twirling around, you are winning the woman in the heart of the basketball game. You have a slam dunk for a heart.
Yeah, no, I am horrible. I you know what? It's a combination of jubilation. I am emotionally, mentally, and physically spent after a game. But at the same time, it's a rush, and it's a combination of everything, and just shake it up, and I put it on video.
Well, we hope to see you dancing tonight. And
if
you
can,
you can dance into the rotation that Billy Donovan may need. You're next.
Well, there you go. I like it.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
Chuck Swirsky, voice of the Bulls. You'll hear him his pregame show 7:15 tonight on these very airwaves, 6:70 a.m. Bulls Celtics at 7:30. I love Chuck.
He is the best.
Chuck.
Yeah. Look, you see this schedule here that the Bulls have upcoming? It is not a pleasant look in terms of, they still have to play. You got Boston tonight. You've got Memphis at Memphis around the corner.
And they lose. Ja Morant making an MVP run.
Oh, my God. He is for real, real, which I actually do like to see. I'm a fan of Ja Morant. They have Milwaukee, who they haven't played yet this year, coming up on the schedule as well. Cleveland. Cleveland even thinks they're good this year. And I was talking to somebody the other day who said that I think it was Rick Camp, said that's a bad matchup for the Bulls. So, who knows? This is a little bit of a gauntlet the Bulls are going through right now. So
good.
We'll see when they get to that finale against Milwaukee, we will reassess and see where they are.
I'm happy to see this. I'm glad they got wiped out this week, as it turned out. I don't believe it was truly a barometer, but it was a way of finding out. I think they'll be better served by finding out things that you don't know, that things that you don't do well. And what their coach was saying, the most important thing I think that came out this week, as long as Zach LaVine's not, the MRI wasn't, showed it wasn't serious, the fact that Billy Donovan, while they were winning, while they were pulling games out, was saying, our defense isn't good. I'm not happy with our defense. And you're always playing a little worse than the end of your losing streak would suggest. And he was right. And it came home. He will be listened to, and it's up to him to figure out. He's got to coach better now, but it's up to him to figure out where to do that. But I think that is a real upside for most coaches. Love that. I told not to just play I told you so, but this is what we did. This is how they embarrassed us. We don't need to get embarrassed, and players don't like to get embarrassed. So I think that was an upside.
You see what happened? That's what happens. Yeah, you learned your lesson.
Yeah. So there were some tweets that you sent out, a couple of them this week, or retweeted a couple of them this week, that I want to talk about. And there was another one that just, again, showed the complete lack of respect for Bears and their history. And we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about Tevin Jenkins. How about that before we get out of here at 2 o'clock?
Sounds like a plan, my man.
Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody. Want to cash in during the pro football playoffs? Try out Giving Props. It is a free-to-play contest on BetQL.com. Every round of the playoffs will post 10 props. Simply create an account and make your picks. You got a chance to win $2,000 in weekly winnings. Plus, just by signing up, you're entered into a random grand prize drawing for 10 large. That's $10,000. Get started today at betql.com/props. That's betql.com/props. Here's a couple of them from this weekend's wild card, right into Monday night. Kyler Murray, over and under 248.5 passing yards. Rams Cardinals, pick them. So, Mark Grody, there was... The tough week for the Bears goes like this. Dick Butkus. You know who Dick Butkus is, right? Dick
of
Butkus?
Of course. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's part of my Twitter page.
Well,
one of my photos, I'm standing there staring at a football game with Dick Butkus.
That's a keeper. That's a keeper.
It is. Especially if you see the picture. It's hilarious.
So he joined Twitter this week, Dick Butkus did. The Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus.
And he sent out this tweet. Unfortunately, the request to verify your account has been denied. So that came from Twitter.
Wow.
To which the Dick Butkus responds, the link to my website and IMDb account isn't enough. What kind of mopes run this thing?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on right now with Twitter, but I don't know if you noticed that Jim McMahon got on Twitter, and he said, I'm new here, just checking it out, like, what are some good... It's so un-Jim McMahon. Like, I don't even believe it's Jim McMahon running that site. Like, do you think Jim McMahon would give two bleeps about Twitter and being out there on that? No. I don't know what's good. And there was somebody else who did the same thing. Like, maybe agents or managers are telling people. Do you think that's it? Yeah.
Oh, follow the money. Number one rule in life. Follow the money. Yep.
Gotcha. Bingo.
So that was it. There was also something else on Twitter this week that caught my eye. It was a response from a guy named Mark Grody. You can follow him at Mark Grody Sports.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Hey, there he is. That's Mark Grody. So it was the idea, the TV... yields, broadcast equals professional team jobs, GMs, coaches, stuff like that. And you made the point, TV guys always have a built-in allure that doesn't always translate, you know, Matt Mellon, Mike Mayock, John Gruden. But you talked about Lewis Riddick. So let's talk about Lewis Riddick. And where he stands and your interactions with him, I found that eye-opening. I wanted you to share that with the class.
Yeah, I believe that about Lewis Riddick. He's an easy guy to get behind, almost like too easy, because he's the TV guy that everybody knows. And he has said things in the past to indicate that he would be interested in being part of the Bears front office or being that GM. I've seen no reports that he has been included in the candidacy or any interviews. I shot a message to him, and I have not heard back from him. So that's where things stand right now, as far as I know, with Lewis Riddick. I don't know or have no intel on whether or not he is, but I'm standing by for him to hit me back. But he's obviously keeping quiet about it. But Bears, Minnesota, the Monday Night Football game on December 20th, and Lewis Riddick obviously was there with Steve Levy and Brian Greasy doing the game, and I was on the sidelines before the game, and I saw Lewis, went up to him, introduced myself, and we chatted for a little while, and one of most of the questions I was asking centered on Justin Fields, and what he told me that night was that they need to let him be him. They need to let him right now. Hey, there's no shame in taking off and running on every play. There's no shame in rolling out and using half the field right now. Let this man be as comfortable as possible right now, and then you start to eventually add more to his game to become the more quote-unquote complete quarterback. But he was just adamant about it that night that, you know, essentially a version of there's no reason to run shame him or to make him be something he is not yet. So that was Lewis Riddick's take, and I thought that was pretty impressive. And really, I don't know if impressive is even the word. It seemed pretty logical to me is what it sounded like.
Sounded like he wanted a coach who would coach to the strengths of his players, not be anchored or the albatross of his scheme, because in Matt Nagy's case, he was so neurotic and insecure about it that was the answer and the only answer, and he had no other thoughts. To the point, the post-firing fallout in that reporting, there was a sort of a vengefulness or punitive part of anybody who didn't like anybody who criticized his scheme. Nick Foles was a prime example of that. There was something that surfaced to the sideline where you could read his lips and said, "This, the offense isn't working." And more reporting on Mitch Trubisky saying, "This is not how it's working. It's not working right." And Justin Fields echoing that in some way. He wasn't punitive against him, but it was with Trubisky it was, Foles it was, and Justin Fields saying that he prefers the no huddle and doing stuff on the run and rolling out and the boots and basically getting in touch with his, channeling his inner Trubisky. But I also wonder if you think it applied to Allen Robinson, who had said 4 years into Matt Nagy, we're still looking in for an identity. And the fact that Allen Robinson wasn't, do you think there's anything punitive in that? Because he certainly made himself known on Twitter this week when he said, "No lie, I got mad love for the city of Chicago," and there was a navy blue heart and an orange heart.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Nagy, even the Andy Dalton, what I inferred from what was a terrific article in The Athletic, I think written by Adam Johns, was that the Andy Dalton plan, you know, was to have him start 17 games this year. And that was because this was Matt Nagy's last, like, insistence upon his offense working. And if you get the right quarterback, you know, he's still been looking for Alex Smith. That's what he's been looking for
yes. The
whole damn time he was with the Bears, as it turned out, right to the bitter end. That's what he was looking for, because to him, when he went to bed at night, he was kept awake, I think, with the fact that how could this Andy Reid offense, this thing, not work? Because I have seen it work with an above average quarterback and Alex Smith. He's pounding his fist to the point where he just sort of he sabotaged himself. He pushed all his cards in on the offense and never looked back. You know, and as far as Allen Robinson is concerned, yeah, I mean, yeah, I retweeted that tweet that he had put out there. I don't know what the hell happened to Allen Robinson this year. I really don't. It's really impossible. Like, it's hard to get specific answers from Allen Robinson because he's a professional and he's not going to call anybody out necessarily, not on purposely, but you know, you kind of laid out one right there. But I don't know what happened to him, if he was more injured than he was let on to be, if he was pissed off about the fact that he didn't get the extension, so he was not trying as hard or protecting himself out there. I think it's all on the table as part of that. But he it's ironic that Allen Robinson, talking about the lack of identity, Allen Robinson was the identity of the Bears offense for 3 out of the 4 years that he was here.
Yeah, he was it. He was that. And if it was punitive in some way. It wouldn't surprise me, given some of the post-firing reporting that has been done and the way he's come across. And a man is insecure, and he needed to protect his scheme, made it impossible for him to coach the players who were there because he was blinded by several things, and none of which was the game and the players in front of him. One of the players in front of him will be in front of the next coach. We're just not sure which, left tackle, right tackle. You got some answers this week. What I'd like to do is take a break, and we'll come back. You did an interview with Tevin Jenkins.
I did.
And we should hear it and talk about it as much as we can before they sweep us out of here at 2 o'clock in advance of NFL players so they can fumigate the airwaves and bring you NFL Wildcard Weekend. Okay? All right.
That sounds great, man. Right. Hey, if you want to hear it, we will play it
for
you
next. Let's
do
that. All right. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're going to suck in a hurry and get out of here. Bye-bye. Okay. We're going to come back, though, so we're not really getting out of here. But it sucks to say that. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. All right, look. It's the last time I'm going to ask you this. Do you want to cash in during the pro football playoffs? Try out Giving Props, a free-to-play contest on BetQL.com. Every round of the playoffs will post 10 props. Simply create an account, make your picks for a chance to win $2,000 in weekly winnings. Plus, just by signing up, you're entered into a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. Get started today at BetQL.com/props. That's BetQL.com/props. Here are a couple of the wild card round props. Tom Brady, over and under 294.5 passing yards. Travis Kelce, over and under 87.5 receiving yards. All right, Mark Rohde, you, Tevin Jenkins, set this up for us.
Yeah, I guess what you need to know is this was before Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were fired. This was ahead, I think it was the Thursday of the season finale in Minnesota week, and the conversation begins with Tevin Jenkins of the Bears offensive line discussing what a weird, wild, wacky year it's been for him with the injury and then the playing time that he did receive this year.
You know, it's not easy. You know, it's just a lot of unexpected things that happened to me. You know, went from potentially starting to having to get surgery on, like, within a span of, like, 1 month. Like, it was, like, very quick. It was, like, a hard thing to deal with. It was a hard thing just as mentally and physically because, you know, it took toll on a lot of things, just like overthinking things, you know, start like having a lot more thoughts about what's my role, all that stuff, you know. And of course the physical part of it is just, you know, it's just trying to get through the surgery and get back. But yeah, it was not easy at all. You know, it's just something I had to fight through.
Are you confident that your role, as you put it, on this team in the future is the starting tackle, left tackle for the Chicago Bears?
I do believe that I will play a significant role in the future, but I'm not going to say that. Like, it's just, it's always like one of those things, like one of those hot takes that, oh, he says he's going to be this, he's going to be that. But I just want to say I do have a strong feeling that I should, like I would be.
Fans want to see you out there for every single snap. Do you think that you've gotten the right amount of playing time in terms of your development?
For me, it's all about, it's all about trusting what the coaches want from me. I'm developing as much as I can before practice and after practice and always in between. It's just whatever the coaches need and desire out of me, I give it to them 110%, whatever they want me to do. And I feel like I'm developing pretty good just for like getting extra work in before practice and after practice, just doing that.
Because of your role at Oklahoma State and, you know, playing and, you know, from start to finish in games, how hard is it for an offensive lineman to go into a game cold like you did in the fourth quarter the other day?
It's actually never easy. You know, you don't ever really get your like footing. You don't really get like the feeling for the game. And like when you stand on the sideline that long, you do get a little cold footed. You know, it's hard to stay warm out there. Like you have to like extra sets, like move around in like a short area of space. And you know, it's not, I just want to put it like this, it's not easy coming in being cold. So you always have to be trying to be ready on the sideline the best you can. That's the best answer I can give you.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. I don't understand it, but I get what you're saying. What about you? How's your relationship with Larry Borum, man? I mean, you two are like the future, hopefully, at least the blueprint as the offensive line. What's it like working with Larry and having those moments where you two are out there at the same time together?
Working with Larry is actually great. You know, he's been a good friend, good pal, all that. All through the stuff we had to do all the year, like our rookie duties and stuff, you know, me and him been joking around to each other. So that's also built another like sense of camaraderie just between me and him, having to do all this extra stuff. And I do feel like working with him was really great. Like I do appreciate him as a person and a player too. And I only have positive things to think and say about him.
Has everything that has happened to you this year at all messed with your confidence at times?
At times it did, especially earlier in the process of what was going on. But what helped me was my understanding of the whole situation and like just basically developing through that and make my mental game stronger. You know, I must say our GM, Ryan Pace, he gave me a book that was like really good. Like I really took it like like I took it serious. You know, I started reading the felt like it's felt, I wouldn't say close to me, but it felt like, you know, I had like, I don't know what the words are to say that, but it was.
You could relate to it, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what you're looking for? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That I could relate to. Sorry.
That's okay. But, that's all right.
But yeah, it was called Can't Hurt Me. Have you heard the book?
No, I'm writing it down though right now.
Is David Goggins? Did I say his last name? I think so.
Actually, you got me on that one, man. I need to read more.
I believe that's the title of the book. I did read it a lot. Like it's like a deeper understanding about like how sometimes basically other people have it way worse than what you got, and how your mental processing and mentally how you can push through a lot of different things if you could put your mind, like basically if you just put your mind to it. That's how it is. I do recommend the book. I thought it was really good. He says a lot of things in there that are a lot of like really relatable.
That helped you?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Did it make you feel like you don't have it as badly as you thought you did?
Yeah, the book did put a lot of the perspectives in like into my head that while I could be like growing up or something, like he explained in his book, like he used to stay like in a bully alley, like a skating rink, and like he like slept in there with his mother and brother, all that stuff. His dad was abusive, all that, you know. It made me put in perspective, like I had, like what I had was like some kids' dreams or something like that. And even for, like for me right now, these are some people's dreams. Like this is like some people's dreams of being in the NFL where I'm at. Like this is something I need to put in perspective, that I need to be grateful to be even in my shoes to be here, and start growing off that. And as soon as I read that book, you know, it's just my whole mental like just changed for me. Like I started getting more positive about everything, started looking at everything in a different way.
Sounds like it recentered you. Would that be a good way to put it?
Yeah, like the appropriate term. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's cool. So when did he give you that book, and when did you read it? I'm just curious now.
I think it was about, if it was, you can't really, we can say approximate like a month.
Yeah. Month ago, 2 months ago. Yeah.
No, in my surgery, like after I got my surgery, about a couple weeks after.
Okay. Okay. And so he kind of sensed that you were down, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Or he just thought that book would help me like mentally also. So that's why I think he gave it to me. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And I don't know this about Ryan Pace. Is he known for handing out books? Is that one of his things, or is that just something that was between you two?
I'm not too sure. You know, that was like one of our interactions that we had that day. So it was just something.
Maybe you and I, we start a book club, you know, we read and we get on here.
That is one of my New Year's resolutions, because I used to not read books a lot. Like I just do schoolwork, go home, play a book, all that. I do, like after I read that book, that's one of my new resolutions. That I knew I need to start reading a lot more books than I used to, like ever. Like it's like right now, I think my standard for the year, which still is going to be like a lot for me because I never used to read books, is like 10 plus, like 10 plus. That's my, like 10 my minimum. And after that, it's doing a lot better.
Wow. I love it, man. Now you're inspiring me, man. Cause I just read sports stuff. I need to like read stuff outside of that realm.
Mm-hmm. I might count like a couple cookbooks in there also, so I could expand my horizon there too.
Oh, nice, man. You got any specialties like cooking yet?
If you ask my fiance, my favorite thing for her, me to make for her, my ribs on a new Traeger. Yeah.
All righty then. For a guy who came into town, Mark Grody, talking about deep dish pizza recommendations and skyscrapers, and your end of season, your exit interview with Tevin Jenkins, why don't you sum up? Why don't you give us that profile? Tell us about the arc. I want to hear from you.
The arc of the interview you talk about?
Well,
like
just
what's the
that,
substance?
That there was such a change. That's a different guy that came in when he was drafted talking about, pizza recommendations. Look at the skyscrapers and just, so what did you think?
Yeah, no, he obviously, as you could hear, a very affable, interesting, and perfect subject to interview. And it sounds like a guy who has become a little bit more self-aware and wanting to improve himself and challenging himself to, what did he say, reading 11 or 12 books? That sounds like a summer reading program, like when I was in junior high. Like, you got to keep the kids busy during the off season and just read. And, you know, I think that's fantastic, especially for somebody his age. It seems like you don't hear that age group talk about reading books. And as you can tell from the interview, my age group doesn't really read books either. So,
you know, so. You still owe your teacher 5 book reports from the summer, by the way.
I think I do. I do. Yeah. Yeah. And I think his willingness to admit a dent in his confidence, how he started this year thinking he would be the left tackle of the Chicago Bears, and then the plan goes awry and blows up in everybody's faces to the point where he thinks he's going to be the left tackle, but he's not even positive about that. So just some very honest moments with him about his confidence and just, I guess, what I would expect from a player as highly touted as him who gets injured like that, and then everything just falls into sort of this confusing chaos for him in his mind, but it looks like he's come out of it strong.
Yeah, there's a vulnerability and honesty about it, and I sensed it in his voice as well as his words. Well done. I like the interview. I'm glad we ran that. Got to talk about it afterwards. So we are going to get out of here. We have the Wild Card Weekend coming up here on The Score, coverage at 3 o'clock. I want to thank Cody Westerlund, Talking Bulls, Ryan Horvat of BetMGM, and Amy Trask, author of You Negotiate Like a Girl, Reflections on a Career in the National Football League. She was great. You all were great. Thank you for texting, for not calling, for being here. We'll be here next week as long as nobody important listen to the show. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.